This is Clay from Skilled Gentlemen Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main.
This is Bob Main with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode 380, a practical show done by a practical guy. That is me. Well, recently I had a chance to go to East Tennessee, over to the city of Dayton, Tennessee, and I had a chance to take close-range gunfighting level 3, also named Advanced Gunfighting by Suarez International. And the instructor was Randy Harris. It was a great class. So primarily in this episode, I'm going to give you a review of the class. I'm going to talk about what my objectives were and what I learned and the guns that I shot and the ammo that I had and things like that. Some of the activities that we did. Good stuff. Good stuff. You know, if you're looking at training, the Suarez International curriculum is terrific because it really prepares you for if you have to use your gun in self-defense. That's what it's all about. It's all about self-defense. It's all about you prevailing in that altercation. So that's the strength of what Suarez International teaches. Let me also talk a little bit about the Self-Defense Radio Network. You probably heard recently on the Polite Society podcast, I got on there with Paul Lathrop, and we announced the kickoff of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Paul Lathrop and I have started this network. Now, the Self-Defense Radio Network basically is a couple of things. And a little bit later on in this episode, you're probably going to hear a little bit more about it as well. Our main goal is to continue to bring you, the listener, excellent content. And also excellent podcasts that are pretty much on the same page, helping you defend yourself, preserving our self-defense, Second Amendment, and our right to keep and bear arms. Because, as we all know, the Second Amendment was not originally meant to be only about self-defense. It was also to give people the ability to stand up to a tyrannical government. And I'm not a tinfoil hatter, but I can tell you our government here in the United States is becoming more and more tyrannical by the year. And that concerns me. I don't know if it concerns you, but it definitely concerns me. Anyway, the network is about 9 or 10 podcasts right now. It's still in its infancy. There's going to be some real good things coming from it. Go to Facebook and search Self-Defense Radio Network. That's Self-Defense Radio Network. Our website will be up and running in a couple of weeks, and you'll be getting some benefits. Listeners are going to enjoy a lot of really cool benefits, and we need to band together to protect our Second Amendment rights, because I think there's some tough times coming up for those of us who are freedom-loving people who believe in the Second Amendment. Okay, from East Tennessee, the first segment you're going to hear, I was driving early in the morning on Saturday out to the range. Then you'll hear a segment after that about the first day. And then you'll hear a little bit more information about the conclusion of the class and my thoughts after that. So, here you go. A beautiful morning in East Tennessee. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. Weather is awesome. A lot better than the super hot weather back in San Antonio, Texas. I'm here in East Tennessee, and I'm making a drive headed over to Advanced Gunfighting, a Suarez International course. Randy Harris is the instructor. And I'm really excited about this, folks. I wanted to record a few thoughts here as I'm heading over to the range to take this class, about an hour drive. What's really cool is I was able to combine this trip with a visit to my mom and my stepdad. They only live about an hour from where this class is being taught. This is such beautiful country here, East Tennessee. I mean, it's just incredibly beautiful. Maybe this is a retirement spot for me someday. Who knows? Anyway, advanced gunfighting. This is a class I've taken before. Again, I really believe that you can't learn everything that a class teaches you by just going one time, folks. There's nothing wrong with repeating. Remember the last episode? And it was also, I also talked about it on my interview with Rob Morse at Self Defense Gun Stories podcast. Check that out. Good show. Remember I said that I learned from Richard Ryan, a very well-known self-defense instructor. A real well-known self-defense instructor. Matter of fact, I'm going to probably try to line up an interview with Richard Ryan. He was asked, what is the definition of training? Or something like that. And he said, KRT, knowledge plus repetition equals training. Knowledge plus repetition equals training. You got to learn something. In other words, you have to have an instructor or a class teach you something. And then you got to go through the repetition. As I've always said, it's the mother of learning. The practice equals training. Well, I'm going to get probably a little bit of both of the first two this weekend. Some more knowledge, because I'm sure I forgot quite a bit of what I learned the first time. It used to be called by Suarez International Close Range Gunfighting Level 3. And now they've just changed it to Advanced Gunfighting. And I'm excited about it. So I'm going to get the knowledge again. I'm going to relearn some of the more advanced techniques. My practice is going to come when I do things like go to the range with Ben Branham. And, you know, we like to schedule range sessions to go there and practice what we know. Doing that coming up next Monday, actually. So by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be this podcast is going to come out on Sunday. The next day, I'm going to the range about a week after taking this class with Ben. And we rent a private training bay where we like to teach our classes in San Antonio at a place to shoot. We actually rent the Cowboy Action Shooting Range. We rent the whole entire range for about 3 hours. And sometimes we take a guest. That's how we met Carlos that we interviewed a couple episodes ago. And I gave you a little bit of an example of the type of information that we have on the Shooters Club in that interview. And sometimes we take a friend, but we practice. Also, I go to competition matches often. Competition matches are great practice. And you can learn a lot at competition at IDPA, USPSA, I Shoot AASA, American Action Shooting Association, which is a Texas-based competition league. That's the practice. That's the practice of gun handling skills. And that's something that you also can gain a lot of knowledge. So when you put those together, that equals training. Follow me? Would you agree? It's pretty simple, but you've got to have both components. You got to have the knowledge and you got to have the training. A very well accomplished competition shooter. A well-accomplished competition shooter, a well-known one, recently put out an article stating that training won't make you a better shooter. And I read the article. I'll try to find it and post a link in the show notes so that you can read it. It's okay, but I think he's somewhat misleading in the article. You know, he says simply going to training classes won't make you a better shooter. And that's true. If you just go to a training class and then never do anything with the information that you learned, you probably won't improve much. That's right. You got to go to a training class. You have to practice and put in the repetition. And that's the value of any training class. And so his article, he did mention that you have to practice, but he didn't emphasize that enough. The article kind of made it sound like he was knocking down the value of training classes. And, you know, folks, let me tell you, whenever you want to learn anything, I don't care what it is you want to do. I don't care if it's shooting. I don't care if it's playing some kind of a sport. If it's some kind of a profession that you want to go into, you have to have training. You have to have training. I mean, there are very few successful people that haven't had some kind of instruction, lessons, or training in what they do. And then they do go out and they practice and practice and practice. And they keep on practicing even when they're good. So I didn't really care for that article too much. And again, I'll try to find it just so you can read it. I'd love to hear your opinions on it. So I'm bringing two Glock 19s to this class. Two Glock 19s, a third generation Glock. Ah, just went by a flock of turkeys on the road. Huh. Interesting. Okay, cool. A lot of good wildlife out on this. I'm out on a windy country road in East Tennessee in all the hill country here. It's pretty cool. So we're going to be doing some cool things with our handguns. I'm bringing two Glock 19s. I'm training with a Concealment Solutions Cobra outside the waistband holster that I'm going to have on my right hip. I'm also going to do a little bit of training from appendix carry in this class. But I'm using Jason Christensen's Concealment Solutions Cobra, which, you know, folks, that is 90% of the time the holster I'm carrying. They are an official sponsor, in full disclosure, of the Handgun World podcast. Check them out. Use the coupon code HANDGUNWORLD to get 10% off your order, except for the belts. 10% off just by using the word or the coupon code HANDGUNWORLD. Please do that. Please give Jason a little bit of a note if you heard about this, if you heard about him, or you want to buy a holster because something I say on this show. There's a note section when you place your order at Concealment Solutions. And send them a note. Let them know how you heard about them and about their holsters. But that's what I'm going to be doing. We're going to be doing things like shooting in learning how to shoot in confined spaces, doing a lot of moving and shooting. If I remember right, this class, see, I can't remember everything. So that's, again, that's why you got to repeat classes sometimes. We're going to be doing some long-distance shooting, I think even out to 75 and 100 yards, which is going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. We are going to be doing a lot of advanced gun handling, one-handed and two-handed shooting, clearing malfunctions and doing reloads one-handed, all very important stuff. And, of course, we're going to be shooting one-handed with in both the right hand and the left hand. So we're all going to get practice shooting right-handed, and we're all going to get practice shooting left-handed. I'm excited because Randy is a pretty successful instructor, and I'm actually excited and open-minded to learn a new instruction style. I want to see how Randy teaches things. You know, sometimes somebody can teach you the same thing, but if they teach it in a different way, if they have a different method, if they have a different delivery, it can make a huge difference on my ability to learn. I am a student at this class. I'm not in any way, shape, or form going to do any instruction or anything in this class. I'm a student. I'm going to be soaking it up like a sponge. You know, another training class I'm thinking about taking is Dave Maglio is coming to San Antonio to teach Mag 30. Mag 30, a 3,000 round 3-day course. Wow. My guns will get a workout if I take that. And I'll get a workout. That's the thing. I'm going to get a workout. But I'm strongly considering that. It's coming to my backyard. It's coming to San Antonio. As a matter of fact, one of the ranges that it's actually coming to the range where I shoot a lot of IDPA. And I've taught some classes there. Cedar Ridge Range in Bull Verde, Texas. So that's, I think I might take that. Because I've heard good things about Dave's classes as well. And I think it's going to be kind of a fun class. Although 3,000 rounds in 3 days, that sounds like a lot of shooting, but I'll be able to handle that. Hey, that's the fun part of it, isn't it? Okay, those are my initial thoughts headed out to this class. I'm going to take a quick break. I mean, you're going to take a quick break. I'm going to take a long break. I'm going to take a long break the length of an entire training class day. For you, this is going to be a really short break, and I'll be right back.
You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy.
Oh God, please help me. He's got a knife.
You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy. You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy. Please stand.
911 operator, what's your emergency, please? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Last year in the United States, thousands and thousands of 911 calls went unanswered. And if you call from a cell phone, there's no way to pinpoint where you are. Yet politicians like Dianne Feinstein call for more gun control. We have one question. Why do these politicians have armed bodyguards? Can't they just call 911?
Okay, first day completed. Like I said, about an 8-hour break for me. Just a few seconds for you. Well, this was a good first day, and one of the things I like about Randy Harris's teaching style is he's very much to the point. He doesn't tell a lot of whole unnecessary stories, doesn't give out a lot of unnecessary information, just what we need to know. And I like that, and he's good at demonstrating everything. So we spent some time in the classroom, which was good, about 30 minutes, going over some pretty good ideas and pretty good things for people to think about. A few of the things we talked about is always paying attention. Always paying attention to your surroundings. Always know what's going on. Don't have your attention diverted. Cell phones. People have their face in their cell phones too much. Or they're talking to somebody and they're not paying attention. They're not looking around at their surroundings. Evade or escape. These are good things for concealed carriers to know. Evade or escape. And then stop their encroachment. Talking about the bad guy. Do what you can do at first to try to stop their encroachment. Whether they're encroaching on your space or they actually physically come upon you. Doing what you can to stop it. Don't get involved in conversations. Like a conversation black hole Randy talked about, which I thought was pretty good. You know, don't get involved in unnecessary conversations with strangers. Those are the types of things that can, you know, they're going to try to distract you. Bad guys that are going to be working in teams especially, in case you didn't know, guess what? Bad guys don't always work alone. A lot of times one of them is going to try to engage you in a conversation to get your attention away from the person who really wants to do you harm. So we worked a lot on moving to the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. In other words, how to make a real quick reactionary move to the 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock, immediately to your left or to your right. That's very important for several reasons. And also maybe if you've got space orbiting around the bad guy. First of all, you got to make yourself a moving target. And I've talked about this endlessly. But action is quicker than reaction. And with, you know, just with our finger guns, in other words, not pointing real guns at each other today, we did a drill where the bad guy pointed his finger gun at the good guy, and it was the good guy's discretion when he wanted to move. And if he made a real sudden, quick move with real good footwork and good shift, he can get out of the way from the bad guy's finger gun far quicker than the bad guy can react and pull the trigger. Like about 90% of the time. And if that's what you have to do, that might be what saves you, is being able to get out of the bad guy's line of fire or his stabbing line if he's coming at you with a knife, or his swinging line if he's coming at you with a baseball bat or a golf club or a tire iron. So we worked on that and exploding off of the X. And it's got to be an explosive movement. You know, at first, if you've never done this before, it's not going to be all that explosive. My feet hurt. I'm on the way back to my mom's house. My feet hurt, man. I tell you what, because I gave my body a good workout today. You know, I mean, this is a physically active class, Advanced Gunfighting, Suarez International. But it's got to be physically active because, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know it, a fight is physically active. Okay, let's not forget about the word gunfight. What's the root word in gunfight? It's not gun. The root word in a gunfight is fight. So that's what this is. And you got to learn how to fight. And sometimes fighting is not always mixing it up with the bad guy, exchanging punches or trying to wrestle him to the ground. Oftentimes it's getting away from him and then being able to draw your gun and return fire. So we talked a lot about that. Then we talked about acquiring a better position. And again, the reason we practiced moving to the 9 o'clock, moving to the 3 o'clock, and then to the diagonals, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The reason we started doing that is because we're trying to get a better position. We're trying to get ourselves out of danger and get a better position on the bad guy so we can return fire, so we can take the fight to them. And we talked about that, taking the fight to them. But you don't want to take the fight to them until you've got the advantage. If the bad guy's got the drop on you, you don't have the advantage at that point. I was recently on the Self-Defense Gun Stories podcast with Rob Morse. If you haven't listened to that, that's on the Self-Defense Network that Paul Lathrop and I have started. That show's on the Self-Defense Radio Network. Listen to Self-Defense Gun Stories podcast. I was on that recently talking about that. Rob and I talked about how action is faster than reaction. So this course had some of that in it during this first day. So here are the rules of a gunfight, according to Randy Harris, which I really like. And so I'm going to borrow this from Randy Harris, Suarez International. All right, Randy gets the credit because this is where I heard it first. Five rules of a gunfight. Now, I used to... Okay, sorry, brief distraction for a phone call. But the first rule of a gunfight is don't get shot. You know, and again, a lot of people say, well, the first rule of a gunfight is have a gun. Well, yeah, sort of, but don't get shot. That's the first thing. And again, you know, you're not going to go looking for a gunfight because that's not what we do as concealed carriers, is it? We don't go looking for a fight. The fight comes to us. So don't get shot. Rule number two, have a gun and have it with you. A gun that you don't have with you does you no good, folks. I'll say that again. A gun you don't have with you does no good, period. Last week I mentioned there are over 14 million people in the United States now that have a concealed carry license, you know, those that need them. Some states you don't need a license. But there are over 14 million people in the USA that have a concealed carry permit. That's about 6.6% of the adult population. These are numbers recently that John Lott put out recently. How many of those that you think actually carry? Now, a lot of people think that carrying means, oh, well, I got a pistol in the glove box in my truck. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Maybe you've heard that. How many of you listening to this show heard that from somebody? Oh, I got a pistol in my truck. Right? So they're in a restaurant with you, but their pistol's out in the truck. What good is their pistol going to do out in the truck? There is almost zero chance that they're going to be able to run out to their truck and get their gun and come back in. I know that there are a few stories like that, but they're very rare. Third rule of a gunfight's hit what you're aiming at. And that's what these training classes are about. And these training classes will humble you a lot because the amount of moving and shooting and the amount of, you know, combatives that we do in these classes, it really humbles you. You might think you're good at hitting a target, but, you know, let me ask you a question. Is the bad guy going to stand still, and are you going to stand still? Hope not. I mean, for your sake, I hope the bad guy stands still, but he's probably not going to be. So you shouldn't stand still either. Moving targets are very difficult to hit with a handgun. Let me ask you a question. How many of you listening to this podcast right now have ever participated in the competition sports where you shot a moving target? Right? Pretty hard, isn't it? So handgun competitors know what I'm talking about. It's not easy. to shoot a moving target. Rule number four of a gunfight, keep your pistol running. Know how to clear malfunctions and stoppages. And also, you need to have good equipment. You need to have good equipment from the start, and that's going to reduce the amount of malfunctions that you have. Maintaining your gear. Everything about your gear, not just maintaining your gun, maintaining your holster, having a good holster, maintaining your belt, having a good belt. But do you know how to clear a malfunction? Can you clear a stovepipe? Can you clear a failure to feed in the middle of a fight? I'm not talking about standing at the square range and, oh, look at this, I got a stovepipe. Oh, yeah, and it takes you 3 minutes to clear it. That's not what I'm talking about. In the middle of a fight, can you clear the double feed? And then one of the best takeaways that I got today was something that I have practiced, but I've not trained enough on it. I've had the knowledge, but I didn't have the practice. And as we know, knowledge plus repetition equals training. I didn't have the repetition, and that is clearing malfunctions one-handed, right-handed, and one-handed, left-handed. And I'm telling you what, clearing a double feed left-handed for a right-handed person, that sucks, man. That sucks. That sucks pond water, man. I'm telling you. It's no fun at all. And it is very difficult, and I had a hard time a couple of times till I figured out exactly what I needed to do. And now I'm going to dry fire practice that endlessly until I get fluid with it. It's not as hard clearing a double feed with my right hand, although it is hard, but it's not as hard. You have to lock the slide back. And now Randy showed us a shortcut. If you're using two hands and you have a double feed, basically all you got to do is pull that magazine out. Press the mag button, pull the magazine out. You don't even have to take it out all the way. Just take it out enough so that the slide slams forward. And then jam the magazine right back in there. Make sure it's seated. Run the slide. So in case that happens to be a bad round, you can get it out of there and you can make sure that you got a fresh round in there and then get back in the fight. That's a way to shortcut the process. Some people teach lock the slide back, rip the magazine all the way out and discard it or put it in your pocket if you're behind cover, and then grab a fresh magazine and put it in the gun. You know, why do that when you can shortcut it? Now, if the magazine is your problem, if it's truly a magazine, which it really shouldn't be, if you're maintaining your magazines, if you're keeping them clean, if you're making sure that you're replacing the magazine springs on a semi-auto, of course, for those of you that shoot and carry revolvers, ignore everything I'm saying. You're not going to probably have a whole lot of malfunctions, but oftentimes, if you have a double feed, it's not really the magazine that's the issue. If you have a double feed, it's usually not the magazine that's the issue. It's usually the fact that the spent cartridge, the round that's just fired, for some reason didn't come out of the chamber. Okay, maybe your extractor's bad. Maybe it's an ejector problem. Maybe it's an ammo problem. Who knows? But it didn't come out. So you better know how to deal with that situation if that occurs and how to do it in the middle of a fight. And then rule number five, reload as necessary or as you choose. Reload as necessary or as you choose. You don't have to wait until your gun is dry. You don't have to wait until it's all empty and you got no more rounds left. You can perform a reload. Oh, but do you carry a reload? Why not? If you have a semi-automatic pistol and you don't carry a reload, why not? Now, an argument can be made if that gives you more ammo or not. Yeah, if you're in a protracted gun battle and you're in a fight where you're going to need to shoot for, at least for me, if I'm going to have to shoot more than 16 rounds, because that's what I carry in my G19, 16 rounds, or if I'm carrying my shield, if I got to shoot more than 9 rounds to end the fight, yes, then I have to have a reload to get more ammo in the gun. And then do you know how to, or what to do if you have to reload when you don't have any cover? Keep moving. If you have to reload and there's no cover, you can't get to a cover point, keep moving. Even if you get behind concealment, maybe it doesn't stop bullets, but you get behind concealment, keep moving. I mean, you have a little bit of an advantage. You could take maybe a little bit more time to reload if you're behind concealment because bad guy can't see you, and if he can't see you, it's pretty hard for him to shoot you. So, but you can always reload before you run empty. So remember that. Those are some of the important takeaways. And we talked about how to quickly access our gun, how to move our feet, how to get the gun up to eye line or up to the sight line, but not completely lining up the sights. You know, we practiced a lot shooting where we're not really completely lining up the sights, but we are bringing the gun up to pretty close to our eyes. Not quite, but almost up to our eyes. And that's kind of like a cross between point shooting and sighted fire. Tomorrow, Randy says we're going to be working on a lot of close combatives where we're going to be firing from holding the gun next to our rib cage or in a compressed contact ready right in front of our stomachs, basically, or in front of our chest, and shooting bad guys that way. All right, so good first day. I shot about 275 to 300 rounds today, and it was pretty good. No malfunctions of any kind. Now, let me get off the class here for a minute and talk a little bit about my gear. I spent the first half of the first day with one of my fourth generation Glock 19s with speed sights, and the speed sights I use have the green front sight. Did fairly well, but then we started shooting out at longer distances, and I switched over to one of my third gen Glock 19s with Trijicon HD sights, and I gotta say, Trijicon HD sights are far better for long distance shooting. Much smaller front sight, and even a little bit more daylight between the notch of the rear sight. And of course, the more daylight you got in that notch in the rear sight, and the smaller the front sight, the easier it is for long distance shooting. And the Trijicon HDs still give you the advantage of getting a quick front sight acquisition, because I'm using orange ones. I may switch the front one out to green, because green shows up a little bit better for my eyes. Not quite sure why, but that's just the way I see things. I see that lime green a lot better than orange. So I may switch that out. The way the Trijicon HDs are designed, I really like them, because even though you got tritium vials in the rear, it still looks pretty black. Your rear sight looks real black at night. My rear sight looks real black during the daytime, but my eyes are drawn to that orange front sight. And so it makes my eyes do what they're supposed to do, and I really like them. If you want to get Trijicon HDs, you can probably get them for almost any pistol now. Please remember to use my Amazon store. If you buy them off of Amazon, go to handgunworld.com and go to the Amazon store page and get them on Amazon on my link, and then that way you help financially support the Handgun World podcast. All right, that's my recap for day one. I'm going to go to dinner, and I will have a few more thoughts for you probably tomorrow morning, which will be probably in about 10 or 15 seconds for you, and I'll be back.
It was one of the worst mass murders committed by a single person. It happened down south. A lunatic killed 27 people, including his own mother, in a single pass. The killer used a six-shot revolver and a knife. Mass murderers find whatever tools they need, and those tools don't need to be sporting rifles or high-capacity clips. A slow, reloading revolver is all this fellow needed. Banning clips will not prevent a madman's massacre, but that doesn't matter to the gun control industry, who thinks inanimate objects are evil, but ignore the deranged people who misuse them. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, back one more time with information on advanced gunfighting. Class is over. I'm headed back to my mom's house and going to spend a couple days there visiting my family. You know, first I'm going to compliment Randy Harris. He's a terrific instructor. I look for instructors that make good points and have a reason for making them. I look for instructors that teach something, that teach a technique, and then explain why that this is applicable to the subject that they're teaching. So, for example, Randy did a good job of explaining, you know, why we want to shoot in different positions and why we want to clear malfunctions a certain way and, you know, why we want to do some of the combative things that he taught. In other words, you know, creating distance from the attacker and, you know, moving away from the attacker and sometimes even circling the attacker, you know, while also being able to return fire. And he explained the methodology and the reasoning behind it all. And I really respect an instructor like that. So kudos to Randy Harris. You know, one of the things that Randy says that I really like is he says, I'm not here to show you how much of a badass I am, but I'm here to show you how you can be better at what you're doing. And, you know, sorry about the language there, but that is to make a point, of what he was trying to do. And he did a real good job of that, and I appreciate it. The second day, we worked on a lot of different position shooting. In other words, shooting in different positions. We shot from prone. We shot from kneeling. We shot from sitting. You know, we shot a couple different ways kneeling, a couple different ways prone, different distances at prone. Towards the end of the class, we were shooting at 100 yards from the prone position. Oh, and by the way, with my Glock 19 and speed sights, I made hits on a silhouette steel target at 100 yards. So anybody that says that you can't make hits at 100 yards with a pistol, you know, those are the kinds of people that say it can't be done, and I wish that they would make sure that they don't get in the way of those of us who do it. Because you certainly can. And I was using my iron sights. Now, I am a little tired of getting my butt beat by people with red dots with Trijicon RMRs. So I think I'm going to have to invest in a Suarez International slide and RMR sight because I'm tired of getting my clock cleaned by those people. They had a distinct advantage at 50 and 100 yards making shots with an RMR red dot on their pistol. As a matter of fact, we did at the end of the class, we shot from both kneeling, prone, and standing from behind a barricade at 25, 50, and 100 yards. Good stuff to practice. You know, it's really good stuff to practice. You have to think about this. If you can make hits at 50 to 100 yards, that's going to make you that much better at 10 to 20 yards. You know, I know some of you are thinking, you know, Bob, come on. You know, when are you ever going to have to use your handgun in defense of your life at 100 yards? Well, I would say probably very, very unlikely. Not impossible, but very, very unlikely. And, of course, you better have a really clear justification for doing so. But the point is not that you might have to take that shot at 100 yards. The point is if you can consistently make hits at, let's say, 50 yards or even 30 yards, that's going to make you a whole lot better at normal self-defense handgun distances. And what if you do happen to need your pistol at 40 or 50 yards because somebody is shooting at you and you didn't bring your AR-15, you didn't bring your AK, you didn't bring your 308 because it was too hard to conceal, but you brought your handgun and you got your handgun to save your life, and that's it, because in the area bullets are flying because Johnny Jihad has come into the area with an AK and he's starting to empty the magazines on his AK. And you happen to be there. And maybe there is no easy way to escape right away. But the most important reason to practice that is to get better at the closer distances. So I was real happy with that part of the class. Randy teaches a part of the class that is real good, that teaches you how to deal with somebody up close. And he kind of dispelled some myths about dealing with somebody up close. You can certainly get away from somebody that is close to you. I mean real close. I mean bad breath distance. You can certainly get away if they are, even if they've got a gun drawn on you. You just need to know how to do that. And we did that in the class. And I don't want to give away Randy's class. I want you to take a class like this from any of the instructors at Suarez International that teach advanced gunfighting, because they're all very good. And, you know, I've taken it with John Payne, and now I've taken it with Randy Harris at Suarez International. And both top-notch classes. So you definitely can get away. You know, I was talking about this with Rob Morse a couple weeks ago when I was on the Self-Defense Gun Stories podcast. We talked about a defensive gun use where a bad guy had a gun to a lady's neck. She was able to get away and shoot the bad guy. Again, I would love to know more about that story, whether she had training or got lucky or instinctively knew what to do or a little bit of both or all three. But instead of just relying on luck to get you out of that situation, do you know how to react? See, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, what is the root word of a gunfight? The root word is fight. It's not gun. And so many of us are worrying about the gun. We're worrying about the gun. It's all about the, you know, some people, oh, I got to have the latest gear. I got to have the best gear. I got to have the best gun, or I got to have, you know, the best sights, or I got to have the best trigger. You know, I can't hit anything unless I do this terrific trigger job or spend $150 on these trigger parts that are being put out by a very major manufacturer, because you know what? My gun with the stock trigger just sucks. So, you know, until I spend $150 to get this trigger, I'm not going to be any good. That's garbage, folks. That's garbage. I'm not saying that the people who make aftermarket parts for handguns make junk. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they make junk. They make good stuff. They make good products. I just don't want you to get the false expectation that buying equipment is going to improve your shooting a lot. Hey, folks, trust me. I have wasted a lot of money. I've wasted a lot of money on gear, on guns, on sights, on triggers, on all kinds of things that really didn't improve my shooting much until I started getting good quality training, like I did last weekend at Advanced Gunfighting by Suarez International instructor Randy Harris. So it was real good. Let's see, what else can I cover that we did on the second day? Oh, I want to talk about the position shooting. In different types, shooting in different types of positions. In other words, in the prone position, kneeling, sitting, standing around a barricade, things like that. You know, folks, these are very realistic situations that you could find yourself in. You could end up in a fight, and maybe it doesn't turn into a gunfight right away. Maybe it's just somebody is trying to assault you, and in the course of the fight, they knock you to the ground. Okay, now you're on the ground. Can you shoot from the ground? Have you practiced that? You know why a lot of people don't practice this stuff? A lot of people, first of all, can't get to a range where you can practice learning how to shoot from the ground, from sitting, kneeling, prone position. But guess what? If you take a class, then you can. And if you take that class several times, you can get more repetitions in different types of positions with your shooting. I'm going to do a little bit of that at my one day coming up, September 17th. And that's an advanced class. And I'm going to be teaching some position shooting there in some of the worst case scenarios. Okay, so it also enables me to sharpen up. This weekend enabled me to sharpen up my skills on that kind of stuff. But Randy did a good job of giving us different ways to shoot. And if you're knocked on the ground, how are you going to be able to shoot the bad guy who might be near you, or he might even be farther away from you trying to shoot you. Okay? Kneeling. You might be able to start getting up, but you can't get up all the way. You might have to take a shot while you're kneeling. So think about all that stuff. Have you ever practiced that? We did a lot of moving and shooting again on the second day, and a lot of just getting out of the line of fire, or getting out of the attack zone. I call it the attack zone. Some people call it the X, getting off the X. I just call it getting away from the attack zone. And by the way, what if the attack is coming from two or three different aggressors? Do you know what to do in that situation? Well, we sharpened up our skills on that this weekend. For me, it was great to be a student. Again, I really believe that you can judge an instructor by the kind of training that he or she takes on a continual basis. You know, do the instructors take training on a continual basis? We all need to keep our skills sharp. We all need to keep practicing these types of things. So, with all that said, I hope you got something out of this. I hope I got you thinking about some things. And I hope I got you wanting to improve yourself in this type of shooting. Now, if you're a beginner, don't run out and take an advanced class like this. As a matter of fact, you probably wouldn't even have the prerequisites for a class like this. For the class I'm teaching September 17th, you have to have taken a defensive handgun course before. I really need people who have taken a defensive handgun course. Unless you're a competitor at a pretty high level, if you're like an expert or a master competitor at a fairly high level, I'll take that as a prerequisite, but you're going to have to show me that. You're going to have to, show me your classification. I'd much rather train people that have already taken a class. Doesn't have to be a class that I've taught or that Ben Branham has taught. If you've taken a Suarez class, or a Masada Yub Group class, or a Rob Pincus class, or, Paul Carlson at Safety Solutions Academy, or Daniel Shaw, or many of the good classes out there that are being taught by top quality instructors, Tom Givens, instructors like that. Even if you have a good local instructor and you can show me the curriculum that he or she taught you while you were in their class, let me look that over. But otherwise, then you qualify to come to Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced. One day. I've condensed it down to one day. Ben and I have worked on a real nice one-day curriculum for that. And you better hurry up because I think you still might have a few days left to take advantage of the early bird special. You can find that over at handgunworld.com. Please remember to go to my Amazon store whenever you're going to make an Amazon purchase. You'll help me out. You'll support my show, Amazon.com. Excuse me. You can also go to your Amazon Prime account. Go to handgunworld.com first and follow that link to Amazon. When you do that, Amazon will pay me a small fee. It'll help me out, help support the show. And then there's always our Shooters Club. For $8 a month or $75 a year, you can watch up to 60 videos now. 60 videos on concealed carry, how to make your shooting better, long guns, shotguns, handguns, and several audio podcasts as well of real good quality. So you can find all that stuff at handgunworld.com. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is either a bang when he was expecting a click, or a click when he was expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.